So today is the 29th July 2021. It's a Thursday class. We will be continuing our sharing from this book, The Essence of Infinite Meanings, teachings from the adapted verse of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. We are at page 344. Just relax body and mind. Then we can have our half an hour of awareness-based meditation, view of the light. Okay, you just relax body and mind, completely relax and be at ease. Then silence everything. Don't try to know, don't try to do. Just maintain awareness. Maintaining awareness is very important. Whatever arises, just let it be. Then the mind is just aware. Aware, finish. Aware, finish. Don't follow anything. Whatever arises, just let it be. Thought arises, let it be. Tactile arises, let it be. Whatever consciousness that arises also, let it be. If you continue to relax and maintain awareness, your mind will start to transform and become very peaceful and very quiet. It's not lost in thought, it's not thinking anymore. It's just relax and developing the awareness within. Then the third support is, after you relax, maintain awareness, you have to develop the stability of the awareness by maintaining it for as long as you can. Technically, it's 24 hours continuous maintaining awareness, unless you have to use the mind and do something. Otherwise, you just relax, maintain awareness for as long as you can. Then use it to meditate. The last support is just trust your nature to do, no more interference from the thought process. So remember this four support: relax, maintain awareness for as long as you can. Then later on, when all this has stabilized, allow that silent mind to meditate and maintain awareness at the heart area if you can. Then just trust the nature to do the meditation. So this awareness will move. What you need to do is relax and stay at the heart area. Then let it detect whatever vibration or movement that the awareness come to detect. Just stay with it as long as you can, until you become very quiet, very peaceful, and very still. Then when you stay with it, there is an internal movement that will happen. But initially, not so easy. Initially, you have to detect your true mind, realize your true mind. Then from that true mind, it will have to detect its own gateway. The gateway to enter your nature come from trust. Trust that nature to do. There is no interference from the thought. How do we deliver the teachings of this sutra into the hearts of all sentient beings? Is there a note there? Oh, yeah. And plant these seeds in the fields of their mind by always being mindful. Therefore, we must first help those who have not yet performed aspiration to give rise to this great loving kindness and great compassion, and cultivate the merits and virtues. These are referring to those who take the bodhisattva vows. These seeds have always been in the mind of every person. If we can simply wake up the farmer inside each person To cultivate the field of their mind, everyone's harvest will be abundant. So this one is just an analogy. It is not in the true sense that there is a farmer inside your heart. No, the analogy is like when you want to cultivate the field of your mind, means you want to develop it. You need to, like a farmer, cultivate the field so that it will have abundant harvest. Then I will read on. Take Mr. Huang, a Cixi volunteer, for example. He has lived a life that revolved around drinking. He said, "I drank for more than 20 years. I was drunk almost every day." So this one, sometimes it's because of their karma. So there are some who has gone through life in this way. Even some Kayamitas before they joined my class, they told me they also were like that. And most of them are ladies. It so happened. I can count the day I was sober on my two hands, which means he is seldom sober, most of the time drunk. One day, he happened to see a Ta'ai TV program where I explained the Sutra of Profound Gratitude towards parents. In an instant, he woke up to the fact that our parents' grace is profound and difficult to repay. As he had been addicted to alcohol for such a long time and lived such a self-indulgent life. Not only was he not repaying his parents' kindness, he was causing them worry. This was not fitting behavior of a son. Thus, he resolved to quit drinking. At that time, he was 42 years old. He soon began to volunteer at a Cixi recycling station. Later on, when construction began on the Taichung Cixi Hospital, the construction site required kitchen staff to cook and serve meals. He volunteered to take on this responsibility, using the same hand that had once trembled due to alcohol withdrawal to cook the food and do his part for the construction of this hospital. Since the beginning of his volunteer work, 5 or 6 years ago, he had never slacked off and often shared his experience with others. Ever since his involvement in recycling and culinary activities, he not only overcame his craving for alcohol, but has also been able to benefit others. Every day he worked joyfully. His parents also feel relieved and at peace about his new discovery. Oh, sorry, about his recovery. From this, we can see that by developing bodhicitta, means the bodhi mind, we can attain the Dhamma and find peace and freedom. Thus, we can transform both ourselves and others and attain inconceivable power from spiritual cultivations. So this is a very good example. If you want to quit smoking or drinking or your bad habit, go and volunteer at certain way place that encourages people to do volunteer works. In fact, when you participate in all these volunteer works, it is a form of training, cultivation that you are going through. And it can change your life, really. I've seen many people telling me their experience of how when they volunteer to help people to work at certain charitable organizations or temples, or even like Tsuji Owen, they actually become different. Mm. Their life change. Mm. Like one of my brothers saying, after I asked him to go and find out more from Tsuji and go and learn their activity and help them out, he came back and reported to me he had so much joy. He came to know so many good people. Then they are all cultivators of the way, they have the Dhamma. So he volunteered at the Tsuji recycling too. Then all the activity that they do is relief work, also helping the Tsuji organization to run certain activity, errand, and work related issue. Mm. Then encouraging other people to even participate in the activity, and all that. Then later on, he managed to, through his own example, convince their own children, his own children and family members, even the wife, to follow him there. Then my other brothers and sisters living in Alostar, the same hometown, they also joined. And through all this, they change. They see a lot of things happening to their life. Mm. Then they also came to know their children become different. Yeah. So these are the benefits of doing all this charity work, volunteer work, and developing the cultivation and the understanding of the Tsuji mission and the teachings. Okay, I'll read on. Now we are at the new adapted verse. The adapted verse said, the universe is vast and our spiritual home expansive. Means it's very, very expansive. Not the word expensive, not the costly type, no. Expansive means it pervades, it expands. With the beauty of benevolence and virtue and the truth of wondrous existence. Yeah, this is a very good way of describing the universe. Mm. So the universe is vast and our spiritual home. It can actually encompass us very wide. That's why it's very expansive. And with the beauty of benevolence and virtue, because if you are a spiritual being, spiritual cultivator, practitioner, you will have a lot of benevolence and virtue. And you will understand the teaching, then the truth of wondrous existence will be there for you to develop and live. Then the adapters verse continue, we say, we must seize the moment and apply the teaching to our own mind. The joy of transformation through the Dhamma can be shared with all in the world. You can do that, it's beautiful. If our mind or our heart are open and our thoughts are pure, we will not give rise to negativity of mind state like jealousy, envy, etc. If we can always be joyful and give with understanding and equanimity, we will not have worries or expectation. So this is very beautiful, the adapter verse. So we will read on and continue with the sharing. Compared to the vast universe, humans are insignificantly small. Just living on this planet, we can sense how large the universe is, or the world is. As big as the Earth is, It is still only a single planet within the universe or our planetary system. It is still quite limited. However, our spiritual home, which is the mind, can be even more expansive than the entire world. The Buddha taught us to have a mind that is, that encompasses the universe and all the boundless world within it, means the entire existing universe. This means that our mind should be very broad and should be able to encompass all the worlds of the great trigelial cosmism. If you look at the notes, they try to explain this word, note 48. This one is the Buddhist cosmos containing billions of worlds. If our spiritual home is small and narrow, it will be difficult to even turn a single thought around, let alone embrace all beings in the universe and the wondrous beauty and natural world. Only when our spiritual home is expansive will we be able to understand the beauty, the benevolence, and virtue, and the truth of wondrous existence. To comprehend the truth of wondrous existence, we must first cultivate the beauty of benevolence and virtue. This is very true. Within everyone's mind, within the spiritual home, there is benevolence. If we are always benevolent towards others, we are said to be virtuous. This is automatic. Only a virtuous person can have benevolence. I often say that merit and virtue, they come from cultivating the internal practice of humility and the external practice of love or courtesy. We must work hard to train our mind, developing loving hearts, and establish right faith and right mindfulness. Then we will naturally manifest this virtue in our interaction and unconditionally give to other people. And they will give us their approval and trust and see us as an example of good character. This is the beauty of benevolence and virtue. If we can live a life of benevolence and virtue, we can realize the truth of wondrous existence. So this is very meaningful. The Buddha Dharma teaches us that all things in the end return to nothing or emptiness. Everything is empty in nature. So what it means here is, like what I explained in the last session, empty nature or existence. It doesn't mean there is nothing. It doesn't mean life doesn't exist, nothingness. Its meaning is different. That meaning of emptiness is empty nature of existence. There is life, there is existence, there are things, there are phenomena, there are living beings. There are activity within existence. But because they are dependent originating condition arising causal phenomena, and like I explained, the only reality in life is the present moment. How real can it be? Split second is dead and gone. Every moment that reality exists, arise and pass away so fast. That's why if you look at life, if that is the only reality, then there is no ultimate reality behind. Because everything is just a phenomenal world of cause and effect, condition arising, causal phenomenal coming and going. So if you understand all this, ultimately you try to understand what has happened, Like the example I used to give. We have been born into this world. We have lived our life for so long. Like for myself, the last 60 years existence and life, I cannot deny that it didn't happen. It happened. But the question is it real? You have to ask yourself, is it real? I mean, you cannot deny. Since the time you are conceived by your parents, especially your mom, then you are born, then how they bring you up, and how you go through life and become what you are now. So all these moments and moments and moments and phases of life, they do exist. It happened. And the people you interact with, the environment you interact with, the experiences that you go through, the life that you went through, all this, they happen. But is it a reality? How real can it be? So if you were to reflect and inquire, then you realize they are all gone. Past is already gone. No more a reality. You can only recall through memory. Just like the famous Mandarin song, 往事只能回味. You can only recall to mind the past, but the reality is already gone, dead and gone, no longer around. So whether I was born or I was never born, to me, there is no difference. Because these are condition arising moments. Then, of course, you can say my nature does play a certain amount of very insignificant role to evolve the universe into what it is now. But then, how significant it is, unless your nature is very special. Then whatever it is able to influence or conditional, that is just what happened in the past. That if you try to recall to memory, it is just consciousness, thought, memory. So how real can it be? That's why it's empty. Whether you exist or you don't exist, that reality is dead and gone. So you look at existence, you look at the whole universe, it's a movement in time, in space and time. And this movement ultimately doesn't recognize anybody. Of course, you can talk about history. You can say such and such and such a person exists. But then that story never ends. Every living being that arises has a story. And the universe is so massive. So what we are trying to develop as understanding is, if you understand the nature's law that governs life and existence, then you will understand the secret of life, then you know how to live life. Then life, or the moment to moment, not surreal, empty nature, but it has its reality. That's why wonderful existence is there, even though it's just moment to moment of consciousness. So this is the teaching. Means when you are able to silence your mind, to observe, to realize and to penetrate all this understanding, then you will not be deluded by the phenomenal world. You will not be so foolish as to grasp, to cling and quarrel over emptiness. Just like the saying, when you are born into this world, you come with nothing. Then when you die, you leave this universe. You don't take along anything. Then why do you grieve in between birth and death? It may be 100 years or 80 years, depending on your lifespan. So the Mandarin saying is very good. Lai ye kong, qi ye kong. Namo si zu, he bi ku ku, wei kong, liu lei ne. In between, why do you grieve over emptiness, over something that is not a reality? It is just condition arising phenomenal form and mind. The coming and going, the flow of life existence. So all these are the understanding of the Buddha Dhamma, the Buddhist teaching. When you understand, it becomes meaningful, it becomes beautiful. Then you know there is such thing as wondrous existence, wonderful existence. So that's why you must develop the clear understanding of this teaching to understand life, then to live the beautiful life, the wonderful life, so that you can do what you want to do, achieve what you want to achieve, be a blessing to all, develop all the virtuous principles and understanding, then develop all the wisdom so that you are not deluded, so that you are not deceived by the phenomenal world, so that you won't get yourself entangled. Then when you silence your mind to meditate, you can see very clearly the universal characteristics of all things, all phenomena. Their universal characteristics is impermanent, leading to suffering. And because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent and changing entity. So don't be deluded, don't cling, don't grasp, don't say this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. This is not a reality. So the reality is, it is impermanent. And because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent changing entity, that everything follow nature's law, dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena, empty, not what you think. That's why it's called non-self. This form and mind, this human being, is not a permanent unchanging entity that we can say, this is self, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. Then I can have all the possessiveness, the craving, the desire, the authority. But then, your body and mind is condition arising entity, not a permanent and changing entity. That is physical body. They go the way of nature. They experience birth, always sicknessing, death. Ultimately, separation arise, death occur. Then when death occur, what happened? Your identity gone, erased. And because the identity can end, then how can it be a permanent unchanging entity that can own thing and have thing? That's why ultimately you have to give up all this, because it is never yours. It never belonged to anyone. From nature it come, to nature it return. Only the human mind, through the delusion, grabs, cling and hold, and wanted all this. Whatever you own, is only when, during that moment, when the law recognizes, when the country you are in recognizes, then it's like you own. But all this ownership are temporary. After your form and mind cease, after it's separate, you call death, then what happened? You don't own anymore. Then maybe the society recognizes you become your inheritance, and somebody will inherit. So if nobody claim, the government will take it, and it will finally end up in the consolidated fund. So all these are reality for you to see and to awaken to. So do not be gullible. If you accumulate a lot and don't know how to make use of it for the good of the many and yourself and your loved one, then ultimately it doesn't belong to you. Then sometimes it comes as karmic debts. Your children and other things, they are here to actually claim back what you have stolen from them in the past. So you willingly give it to them and let them inherit. So if you have such karmic condition, so you must have been deluded for very long without this teaching, without this understanding. That's why you willingly, through the law of nature, willingly give up all this and return to them. Here you have deceived them, cheated from them. So all this understanding shows you clearly what this teaching is: empty nature existence, no reality, not what you think. So when you have this understanding, you can plan your life. You will not be so deluded as to constantly chase after wealth, chase after materialistic thing. Then develop the restless mind that constantly struggle in constant conflict just because you want to be wealthy, successful. You crave for things which doesn't last, which will separate from you. It doesn't mean you cannot own things, you cannot have things. You can. The Buddha say you can have them, but don't attach, don't be deceived and deluded by it. The key thing is do not cling, do not attach, do not be deceived by it. When you have earned them in the righteous way, then it is for you to use. Yes, karmically, it comes to you in the righteous way, not through deceit, not through cheat. So there is no coming behind. But these are the result of your virtuous past, your generosity. That's why you can have them. Then when you have them, you have the Dhamma, you have the understanding. You can use it for the good of the many. You can use it to help yourself, your loved one, and provide for their comfort, happiness, and joy. And you can use it to help others too, a blessing to all, to society, and all these things. So this is what life and existence is. When you have the understanding, you don't suffer. You see all this very clearly. Then you don't get yourself muddled up, entangled, foolishly doing all the foolish things. Okay, we go back to the sharing. The Buddha Dharma teaches all, teaches us that all things in the end return to nothing. Everything is empty in nature. If everything is empty, why do we still give rise to so many afflictions? So this is a good question, isn't it? Wei Kong Liu Lei. This is because we have not yet clearly understood the principle of true emptiness. That's why this principle of true emptiness is very important. In the Heart Sutra, the Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, he said, true emptiness is wonderful existence. Zhen Kong Miao Yu. If you have truly grasped the understanding or have realized the true principle of emptiness, of true emptiness, the principle of true emptiness, then life becomes wonderful. This is very true. That's why it's mentioned within true emptiness is wondrous existence, which is everyone's pure intrinsic nature. When there is no more delusion, when there is no more wrong view, that nature manifests its true intrinsic nature. For example, if there is a place that is really dirty and smelly, it must be that way because over time filth has settled on the surface and built up until it produces a foul smell, or stand. Once this place is clean, you will no longer smell any bad odor. So where did the odor go? Though we sense the odor coming from some object. If we analyze this thoroughly, breaking everything down into its component, in the end, there is no object and no color or odor. This is true emptiness, where everything evolves, cyclical existence, dependent originating. However, there is still wondrous existence. Where is it? Your nose is able to determine whether an odor is present. The room is smelly. But can you take this pen out and look at it? What about a pleasant fragrance? Actually, whether an odor is unpleasant or fragrant can only be distinguished through our sense of smell. There is no way for us to see. So all external conditions must be experienced and sensed by the mind through our various sense bases. The knowing of it is called perception. Whatever we perceive, we come to know through memory, through our perception. And that is the one that brings in the external form from the external phenomenal world. But what does perception look like? It's not something tangible. We cannot see it either. It's mind-made. However, perception also has its origin in the wondrous existence within true emptiness, which is our pure intrinsic nature. That's why from our pure nature, our true mind, our mundane mind arises. Our thinking mind arises, our thought arises. That's how we created existence. That's why our mind, according to Lord Buddha, is the forerunner of all things. When mind arises, all things arise. That's why Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, the opening verse, the Buddha said, mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, all things arise. So we choose, understand mind and take care of mind. Why? Because after that, the Buddha continued. If we are deluded and we do not develop the training of the mind to be heedful, to be aware, to understand, to develop the wisdom, then we will heedlessly think, act and speak with a deluded mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. So when you do that, he said, suffering will follow you. Just like the wheel that follows the hood of a cart. Whereas the second twin opposite verse is the heedful one. He said, again, mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, all things arise. So if we know this, if we are heedful, we take care of mind, then we train ourselves to be ever mindful in the midst of life, then we will act, speak, and think with a wholesome mind, with a virtuous mind that is free of the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. Then the Buddha said, happiness will follow you like the shadow that never leaves you. So based on these two Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, it's very easy for us to develop the understanding of life. So which do you want to follow? You want to be heedless? Follow Dhammapada verse 1? The outcome is obvious. Suffering will follow you. If you want to be otherwise, then make sure you avoid Dhammapada verse 1. Train your mind to be heedful, to be aware, and understand what constitutes evil. Then keep your precept, follow the advice of the Buddha. Then Dhammapada verse 2 will arise. Then you will be blessed with happiness all the time. Happiness will follow you like your shadow that never leaves you. So we develop this understanding, then we make ourselves very different. We can inquire our life. We have to choose wisely. Definitely you will choose to be happy, right? Nobody in their right mind will choose to be miserable, to suffer. The reason why our world is still full of people who are deluded and suffering, having affliction, is because they do not know this teaching. They don't know this secret of life. So like I always say, life is very simple when we understand. Each and every one of us, we hold a key to our own life destiny. To be happy or to be unhappy or miserable is entirely our choice. Then choose wisely. Choose to be happy. But the question is, why are we or most people not happy? Having problems, miserable most of the time. It's not because they don't know how to choose. It's because they don't know this teaching. That's why this teaching is very wonderful. It can lead to wondrous understanding, leading to wondrous existence. So all these are truly beautiful. Eh? Okay, we will read on a bit more. Eh? The true emptiness in wondrous existence and the wondrous existence in true emptiness can only be realized through spiritual practice or cultivation. Therefore, we must seize the moment when we hear good saying or good principle. We must make use of them right away and apply the teaching to our own mind. When we can quickly integrate them into our thinking, we can also apply them when we interact with other people. The joy of transformation to the Dhamma is experienced by practicing the Dhamma in daily life and in our relationship with the environment, with people, with all things. The joy of transformation to the Dhamma. Oh, this one we have gone through. Yeah, okay. So we will continue with the next paragraph. Next sentence. When everyone benefits from it, we also feel joyful. Then we will want to share this with all in the world. If everyone in the world can do the same, affliction will not continue to arise, and all beings will be able to coexist peacefully with nature and share in the same joy. So this is normally easier said than done. A human being is very funny, very strange. They are so different in all aspects. They have their own thinking, their own views, opinion, and conditioning, even belief system. So it's not easy to convince everyone to have this understanding of life, to have this teaching. Otherwise, the world will be very peaceful. Full of love, full of benevolence, virtue and joy. So if our heart is open and our thoughts pure, we will not give rise to jealousy or envy. If we can always be joyful and give with equanimity, we will not have worries or expectation. With an open heart and pure thoughts, we can attain peace and freedom through the Dhamma. This is very, very true indeed. Then naturally, our mind will not give rise to jealousy. We will be able to let go of all attachment, and we will joyfully share the Dhamma for everyone in the world to make use of it. This is how we can truly live a life filled with the greatest blessing and wisdom. Be calm and even-tempered. Carefully vigilant. Yeah? Vigilant means mindful, aware. And humbly respectful. be disciplined and courteous, abide by the rules, and follow what is proper. So this is the Dhamma way. Eh? Do not be tainted by evil thoughts. Diligently practice virtuous Dhamma. Practice the four infinite mind and the six perfection. The four infinite mind are the four Brahma Vihara mind states of loving kindness, compassion, sympathetic joy, and equanimity of mind. In Pali, they call it Metta, Karuna, Mudita, and Upeka. The sixth perfection is, of course, the Mahayana perfection to become Sammasambuddha. Under the Theravada teaching, they break it into 10. So we call it the 10th perfection. So before we go into the detail, maybe I will just go through the title with you so that next week's sharing, we can continue from here. So that I don't have to go into the commentaries to go through the whole adapter verse, because this adapter verse is very beautiful and very meaningful to develop understanding so that you can understand how this teaching comes about. So the key word is be calm and even tempered. Means you have to maintain that calm state of mind within. Then you must not be emotional. Means even tempered. Then carefully vigilant means carefully aware, mindful, heedful. Then humbly respectful. Humble means with humility. Be humble. Not arrogant, then respectful. These are all the virtue, important mind states that you must have. So first is be calm. Your mind must be calm, composed, means not heedlessly lost in thought, thinking. It must be calm, with clarity. Then even tempo means not emotional. Then carefully vigilant. Is ever mindful, heedful, aware, and humbly respectful. So these are the virtues that you must have to be a cultivator. Then be disciplined. Discipline means you follow the rules, you follow the nature's law, the precepts and all those things. You will never violate them because it's not worthwhile to violate. So be disciplined in the sense that you have this understanding behind to train yourself to not be tempted by greed, desire, selfishness, and all those things. Okay. So be disciplined and courteous. Courtesy is very important. Being courteous is a virtue. When you are very courteous, you are not arrogant. You are not the type with very funny character. You have been very kind, very courteous. Then abide by the rules means nature's law that governs life and existence. And follow the principles, whatever that is appropriate or proper. Do not be tainted by evil thoughts. So this one you have to understand what constitutes evil, otherwise you cannot cultivate this mind state. So being tinted, you know, is like polluted or colored by that thing, by the evil thoughts. So what constitutes evil, we have to understand. According to Lord Buddha, the three evil roots of mind states are greed, hatred, and delusion. And these are major greed, major hatred, and major delusion. And you can expand onto them. The Pali term is more accurate. Greed, they call it lobha. Lobha, L-O-H-B-A. So this word greed, the meaning is very deep. It's not only greediness alone. All of your selfishness is part of greed. All of your covetousness, craving, desire, they are all part of greed. And possessiveness is also part of greed. Then when you look forward to advantage, to deceive and to cheat, these are all part of greed. That's why greed, it covers such a big spectrum of mind states. To deceive, to cheat, is all greed. Then after that, we come to the second evil root, which is hatred or anger. So in Pali, it's like the Malay word, dosa. They call it dosa, means you do wrong. But here, it is in the negative sense. Dosa means not only hatred or anger. Your envy, jealousy, your dislike, your aversion towards thing and situation, they are all part of this emotional negativity that the Buddha called the evil root of hatred or dosa. So whenever you react negatively to negative emotion, that is the evil root of hatred, anger, unhappiness. Then the last one is delusion. Delusion here means self-delusion, sakkaya ditti. The Buddha called it moha. Moha. So moha is self-delusion. Then there is another word which the Buddha always say, ignorant. Ignorant is abhijja. So ignorant is like the big flaw. When you have ignorant abhijja means you have moha, you have self-delusion. That is the main one that drives you. Then ignorant is ignorant of the truth, ignorant of all the reality of life and existence, ignorant of who you are, what you are. That one is ignorant. So there is just a small part of abhijja. That's why ignorant of who you are, what you are, is sakkaya ditti, self-delusion. So this part, the Buddha said, is an evil root, root of all evil. It will make you evil. And what constitutes moha? He said, all of your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your insecurity, your phobia, they are part of these evil roots of moha, delusion. Because when you are deluded, self-delusion, you believe you exist. You believe there is a being, there is a person, there is a personality that has an ego. That's why we call it the egoic mind. So this egoic mind, because it believes it exists, it creates selfishness and possessiveness. So the ego conditions us to believe that we exist. That's why when we want to own things, when we want to have things, we become possessive, become selfish. Then we become all the things that lead to greed. Then of course hatred also. When we think we exist, when things don't go our way, we become violent, we become angry, we become emotional. Yeah. Then we hate, we develop envy, jealousy, all of the negativity of mind state. Then when we cannot understand things, we develop fear, worry, anxiety. Then when we are entangled with situation and problem, we create sorrow and lamentation. We attach, we cling, we grasp to delusion. We believe we exist. And when we believe we exist, we believe our loved one exists. We believe we own things, our materialistic wealth, our property, our whatever that we hold on to dearly. It can be your prized possession, your antique, your house, your car, your beautiful holiday home, chalet, everything. Some so wealthy until they have private jets, then many wives, many children. And all these are delusion. Then when you start to grasp onto them, cling onto them, hold onto them, what happens if you lose them? When separation arises, differ fear of death, fear of that physical body getting old, getting sick and die, your loved one getting old, getting sick and die. So all this brings about suffering. So these are the evil roots, the three evil roots. That's why you have to expand on it, develop the understanding of it. Then you start to understand the teaching in a very profound way. Then you can apply it to daily life, to real life example. Then see the teaching. That's why I see the Dhamma in the midst of life. So all these are very important teachings and understanding. So that part, I hope you can develop the understanding. So this title is really beautiful. So do not be tainted by evil thought, means thought that has the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion that I shared just now. In Pali is called Lobha, Dosa and Moha. Then after that he said, diligently practice virtuous Dhamma. Virtuous Dhamma are the opposite of evil thoughts or evil Dhamma. So virtuous Dhamma are all the virtue that we can have. What are virtuous Dhamma? Our generosity, our kindness, our sincerity, our humility, our love, our compassion, our ability to rejoice, our wisdom, our understanding, then whatever respect that we can extend to people. Then when we have gratitude towards people who has helped us or done certain wholesome thing, we rejoice. We express our gratitude towards them. Then like the Buddha, he has taught us a great teaching. All the great beings, they have been a blessing to us. They have protected us, blessed and guided us. So we express our gratitude towards them. Then we pay our respect to create affinity. So all these are virtuous Dhamma. Then there are a lot of other virtue that the human mind is capable of. When you are being very kind, very gentle, very courteous, you can actually bring about a lot of virtuous, beautiful thoughts that can be a blessing to all, that can help mankind, humanity, can help bring about love, peace, harmony, no more negativity. So this is the beauty of cultivation. Do not be tainted by evil thought. Of course, the teaching, the adapted verse is like very simple. But to cultivate is not easy. You must understand what constitutes evil. Then be mindful, be aware when the evil roots arise, the evil thought arise, the evil mind state arise, then only you can cultivate. Otherwise, you can't. The Buddha also teach the four I effort. When the wrong thought or the evil thought has arisen, you must apply the right effort to abandon them. And how to abandon them? There are five ways. That's why the teaching is very complete. Then the second right effort is right effort to prevent the arising of evil thought. And that one need wisdom, need cultivation, need the Dhamma. You need to go through the cultivation, constantly listening to the Dhamma, first turning wisdom to arise. Then reflect, contemplate, and inquire. Why did the Buddha say this? To stabilize your understanding, that is the second turning, wisdom. Then meditate to insight into phenomena, to awaken, to develop the right view and the right understanding and the wisdom. All these three turnings of the fundamental can lead to beautiful understanding. We call it the initial wisdom, unisot manasika. When you have them, then you can apply the second right effort to prevent the arising of these wrong thoughts, evil thoughts. So that one, not easy. You need to cultivate. Then after that, I'll call the third right effort, fourth right effort is easier. The third right effort is to arise the right effort, to cultivate all the virtuous thought, the kind thought, the appropriate, proper thought that you have not developed. Like what I described just now earlier. That's why the whole range of cultivation is not easy. We had to go through that. How to cultivate generosity, humility, gratitude, kindness, gentleness, pleasantness, love, compassion, equanimity of mind, ability to rejoice, sympathetic joy. So all these are beautiful teachings. Then of course the final fourth right effort is to refine upon all this virtue, virtuous thought that we have cultivated and perfect them all so that it becomes a part of you, so that this nature has that embodiment of all this virtue, like sincerity, honesty, kindness, generosity, gratitude, respect, humility, love, compassion, all this. Even to be courteous, to be kind, to be generous, to have all the what we call virtuous thought is not easy. To be truly a blessing to all is not easy. To develop understanding, wisdom, to develop all the conditions to help the world, the environment, humanity, all this is not easy. So to do all this, you have to practice the four infinite minds, Brahma Vihara. That's why you must have love. This love is universal love, metta. Then universal compassion, mudita. Karuna. Then universal, what they call sympathetic joy of mind. Means instead of developing the opposite of envy, jealousy, we always rejoice with the wholesomeness of what people has done, like your colleague get promoted or whatever. You rejoice instead of becoming jealous of him or arising the mind that has envy. Why did he get promoted? Actually, I should be the one deserving the promotion. So this jealousy, envy, leading to hatred and unhappiness, is a very detrimental evil roots. So cultivation involves all this understanding. Of course, finally, is equanimity of mind, point of wisdom. When we have wisdom, our mind becomes equanimous. We do not sway into like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. The duality cannot affect us, because we can be at peace with all conditions, all situations. And we see things very clearly. Right and wrong is just a worldly convention, not an ultimate truth. So in reality, everything that arises, there is no right, no wrong. I know it's very difficult for people to comprehend this. Where can you say no right, no wrong? Take for example, right, when you do certain thing, what is the condition behind the definition that you have done it correctly or rightly? It's based on what? The convention that you base on is right according to your views, your opinion, the way your country arises, the law, your culture, your belief system. So this right or wrong, the duality that you create is very, very individualistic and mundane, not truth. The truth is whatever happened, that is the reality. No right, no wrong. Because right is a worldly convention. Right according to who? According to you. But may not be right according to others. So this right and wrong is relative, not ultimate convention. These are worldly convention. They are not ultimate truth. They are conventional truth. So when we see this clearly, we don't argue. That's why our mind becomes at peace. We can accept the reality. Right according to you. Right according to him. Right according to the society there. That's why there's an English saying, when you are in Rome, you do what the Romans do to prevent you from getting into trouble. So there is no right and no wrong. They are just the way they are, where they follow the convention. So when you understand all this, you can be at peace. That's why I say, when we have a situation, when we react and stir our mind, because we cannot accept that reality, then the Buddha's teaching is very simple. You have to learn to see things as they are, according to reality, not according to what your brain or memory tell you, your views, your opinion, and your conditioning tell you. Because they are the way they are. It doesn't mean you agree with what they do. That's why I always share with Kayamita. Angry people do angry things. Foolish people do foolish things. Deluded people do deluded things. They are just the way they are. To me, no right, no wrong. We have to accept for what they are. Accept doesn't mean we agree. We can still act. Yeah. So when we accept, we are at peace. We do not stir our mind. We do not become emotional, angry. We do not arise the anger, the hatred, the emotional negativity. So all these are evil roots. If you don't arise them, it's you are at peace. Then the world is the world. Condition like that, things will be like that. So sometimes we discuss politics and all these things. But then there is the reality. Condition like that, things will be like that. But as human beings, these are discussion topic for living beings. In the world of existence, there is such thing as duality, right and wrong, this and that. Because mundane mind create, through mundane mind it create duality, then it end up in division, argument, conflict. This is what the mundane mind is capable of. So you meditate to see this clearly so that you are not deceived by this delusion. The power of mind to divide. The egoic mind, which is egoic, limited. You must see them all, understand them, then use them. The mind or the thought process is useful. It has its place in society, existence. But you cannot use thought for certain things in life. Like you want to awaken to truth, you cannot use thought. The truth is beyond thought. You want to solve your emotional life situation or problem, you cannot use thought. Yeah, that one will entangle you more and more. Thought is mechanical. You can only use thought to study things, technical things, mechanical things. Remember, knowledge, information, technology, IT, everything. That one you must use thought. The logical mind can move into that. But whatever that is emotional, become karmic in nature, you cannot use thought. Where that one cannot see. That one is egoic, has the evil root. It always get you entangled. Not until you have wisdom, you cannot use thought appropriately to arise the right thought. That's why the teaching is very beautiful. Noble Eightfold Path, the Buddha said, can solve all your problems. you cultivate, it will lead to the end of all suffering. It starts with the first perfecter of right view, leading to right thought. So what is right view? Right view is right understanding. Then only you can arise the right thought. And right understanding is wisdom. So before you have the wisdom, all your thought is tainted by the egoic mind, which has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Because of that, most people, they are heedless, deluded. They use the mundane mind, which is still egoic. That's why you don't meditate, you don't awaken to this teaching. You cannot understand yourself. You cannot understand your mundane mind, your thinking mind. You will get yourself entangled. So, okay, I will end here, because this is a very important topic. So the title, we will mark this page, then we open up for meditation reporting and Dhamma discussion and Q&A.
Very good evening to Brother Teo, Mrs. Teo, and Sister Suyi.
Yes.
I hope all you are okay and well.
Yes.
I would also like to
Yeah.
I would also like to take this opportunity to wish Sister Suyi a belated happy birthday.
Very kind of you. It was yesterday.
Maybe I would like to share my meditation.
Very good.
And then maybe if you have some time, my application. Dharma side.
Very good.
So since the MCO, right? On the 1st of June, I have been practicing religious routine.
Sadhu.
Every day I will wake up at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
And when I wake up, I will do the chanting.
Sadhu.
And after that, I will read the yellow card.
Sadhu. The Bodhisattva.
And then after that, I will do a short meditation.
Sadhu.
Normally 30 minutes lah. Sometimes.
Very good. 30 minutes already very good.
Sometimes shorter, sometimes longer.
No problem.
Depending
on the situation.
And by 7 o'clock, I would go for exercise lah. I would normally walk my
dog.
Very good. Sometimes I could not do meditation sitting down, so I would just go for a walk lah.
That also is very good meditation. It's relaxed. And you are aware, then you can contemplate. In fact, I like to do that in a retreat or I go for a walk. Even at home, it's very good way of refreshing the mind to be in a relaxed state of contemplative development. It's the second turning. Because if you don't know how to sit or meditate, sometimes it becomes worse. So I told people, instead of torturing yourself in the name of meditation, that's why a lot of people went to retreat. After a while, they cannot settle down. They find it very difficult to sit, especially after a few days. The pain starts to develop. Every time they try to sit, the pain will come to haunt them and other things. Then they find it very difficult. And most of them suppress their emotion. They dare not move. They become very rigid, very stiff. So some dare not even release the fat and all those things. So these are people who don't understand. But you're supposed to relax and maintain awareness. Then that state is very beautiful. Then off and on, you alternate between going for a stroll or slow walk. It's very beautiful, especially in a retreat environment. The environment is very conducive. And I realize my mind become very different. And that mindfulness can be carried through, especially you do the daily religious routine, Gotland, then you will find it very beautiful, very relaxed, very peaceful, very calm. Then Dhamma will start to appear. Then a lot of things you can relate to what you have learned and what you have developed as understanding of the teaching. Then you start to develop the joy. in living life, in experience all this in a very relaxed manner, you are always at ease, at peace, and you just do a slow walk in the environment where you are familiar with. We are in your house is very good. Your house has a very long, I think, driveway. Then nowadays, I think without the EMCO, you can go out for a walk too. And say, then your house internal also quite long. You can do your slow walk. Yeah, it's up to you. Very good, Nolan. You continue. You can continue.
So the first 7 days was actually not so easy.
Ah, definitely. Haven't settled down yet. Yeah.
Yeah, slowly. I've moved my past 7 days. After that, 1 week, 2 weeks. 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
Very
and
good.
I've continued to do up to today, 59 days in a row.
Wow. Almost 2 months.
I think I will never have a chance if there wasn't because of the EMCO.
Yeah, EMCO. Work from home. Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that it's good. I just say that I'm very grateful, happy.
Yeah. That's why gratitude. So,
And then I also realized something. Actually, out of the doing this, it became a habit.
Yeah, new habit, which is good habit. A it's new good, yes. habitual tendency, which is good, wholesome.
Previously, routine. I have other habits, but now I developed this habit, and then my body become automatic, you know?
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, and I also realized that, you know, because sometimes my work is very busy.
Yes.
So it's actually very good for me to wake up early.
Because
from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock, it's actually truly my own time, you know. After 7, my time belongs to somebody else. Family or work until
correct.
So which is
That's good. Yeah. You
because,
start to experience all this. Very good.
Because before the EMCO, I think BG also mentioned, I now got more time, you can do a meditation. I said, luckily got the condition.
That's right. EMCO, MCOE, you perceive it with wholesomeness, it become a blessing in disguise. So it's not always everything is negative. Because we don't see the blessing in disguise. Opposite side, which is possible. Human being always follow certain convention. When they hear a certain news, they thought, see liao, or say it, or problem already. No, every situation can be turned around to be a blessing in this kind if you know how to apply the Dhamma wholesomely. That's why do not arise evil thought. Do not perceive things with negativity. Always arise wholesome thought. Perceive a situation with wholesomeness through understanding. Then when you have Dhamma, things become different. That's why for you, you start to see all this and appreciate all this. Then you have gratitude, which is very good. Very good. Sadhu, you can continue.
So the next thing I also add on to my religious routine was exercise, which is to keep my body healthy.
Yeah, very important. Mm.
And then this round, there's something I did differently. It's actually I started to eat more veggie and eat less meat.
Wow, very good. That's it will feel different,
Because last year, I've actually done blood test. The doctor has said, your cholesterol is very high. You need to change the lifestyle. Need to change the diet.
Diet, yes.
But I did not take any action. And I just continue work, outside. So this time, I took it seriously and diligently. And I cooked my own special. Simple meals.
Correct.
Maybe once a week, eat a bit of meat. That's it.
That will make a big difference. So your blood test came back.
And I have not checked yet.
Improvement. You feel better, isn't it? Health-wise, you can know. Less sluggish.
And because more I like, prefer to eat meat. And I never thought that I can do it. But actually, it's not that bad. It's okay. I can do it.
Yeah, it can be done. There are certain phases when you go through during cultivation. I told you all before and I shared with you all. Last time in the early days of my cultivation, especially towards 1988, before I realized the Dhamma in 1989. I remember I suddenly feel different. I wanted to eat something plain. I don't call it meat or what, because I like certain things, I know, like Colombian, I like one. Then during that phase for 6 months, I don't like to taste the char siu and all those things. Although I love char siu and all those things. But I just tell the Colombian guy, I say, can you cook me the Colombian? Don't want char siu, don't want wonton. Then he said, what actually you want? You want to eat chai or what? I said, no. I like your chi yao, chi yao sahuras, but I don't want the char siu and the wonton and all that. Then I think he was very kind. Said, okay, whatever is it. I said, I don't mind you charge me the same price. Said, oh, like that can. He said, I give you more noodle. I said, no. You just make it plain and nice, maybe more veg. Oh, so for 6 months, I've been eating that. But towards the end, I realized something not right, because my body is not, this line, not meant for vegetarian diet. Initially, I felt so much better because you reach a stage where your body will know it wants to experience this. So for 6 months, I was doing this. Then towards the end of the 6 months, I realized my health is like something missing. My diet cannot be like that because I need certain type of energy for me to sustain my daily routine. As an engineer, I have to walk, I have to do a lot of things at that time. And I realized if I go on this diet, it is not conducive, not that conducive. But initially, I feel very good. I feel very good. Yeah. Then later on, towards the end of the 6 months, suddenly from my nature come out. He said, you have decided this line. Your DNA come not to take vegetarian. Then it tell me I have a vow which prevent me from doing all this, because of that the DNA is different. My that vow is my miscellaneous additional vow that I came to know only after that. Then it revealed to me that I have this very powerful vow. I vow to take across all beings that appear as food for me to take. Because of that, I knew what is happening. It's for me to understand. Then after that, from that day onward, I got no more problem. I returned to my normal diet. Then I am used to that type of diet, and that diet is meant to be. So everyone is different, Colin, you don't have to follow me. For you, a lot of people find vegetarian good, less meat good. You check your blood test, I think for your case, it will suit you. You have very much better cholesterol, then your blood test should improve. You find out for yourself, Colin. Yeah, you can continue, Colin.
Okay. Actually, the purpose of me doing that is just to stay healthy.
Yeah.
And just try a different lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of worked. It worked for me.
Yeah.
And I had a realization out of this is it's actually very important to start a new habit and do it diligently and seriously. You know,
sadhu.
Seriously.
Sadhu, very good.
So loving our body is also important.
Yeah.
It's the same thing like meditation, training the mind.
Yes.
have to do it seriously. And for me, it became easier and easier.
Yeah.
Every day. Sometimes I wake up later, something, but I will still do it. It's just And my meditation experience is also initially not very stable.
Yeah.
But I start to be able to anchor.
Oh.
Anchor
the
myself.
Stability of that awareness will start to appear. And you will find it very easy to do the meditation later on. Then most of the time throughout the day, you are aware, you are mindful, you are heedful. Then you start to experience more and more calmness, space within thought, the tranquil moment, the silent mind. It will become like more and more apparent to you. And that is going to help you a lot to develop understanding, the meditative understanding, the cultivation. That's my daily religious routine and a very disciplined way of doing it. It means like you said just now, you determine and you are very serious. I mean sincerity. You work towards it diligently and it will change your life, change your health, change your understanding, transform your meditative training for the better, and you will become different. Started to your power.
Yes, and I realized the mind is like a body as well. You have to train one.
Yeah.
To every day, continue every day.
Right. Train it.
And
so that
one
it
of
has...
the things that I do every day is also listen to the Dhamma recording.
Ah, that one help a lot. Yeah, that one is first-turning wisdom.
Yes. And the thing that really helped me a lot is also as the sharing. And the next one is the sharing from all fellow Kayamitas.
Ah, that one very important.
Yes. There is many times, I do not know whether it's a coincidence or not. Sometimes I want to ask certain question, but it's being shared by fellow Kayamitas.
Other Kayamitas, yes.
Or either Brother Teo yourself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes.
So it's like as if you are in sync, you know, sometimes.
Correct, correct. It does happen because cultivator is always that. When you are doing the cultivation correctly, your nature becomes different. Then whatever answer you want is like your pure vision. Somehow people will ask. Sometimes the non-human helping you. They will help you to condition the Kayamita to ask that question or to report their sharing. Then when you listen, because you are developing it, like what you do now, you realize, hey, these are the questions I want to ask. These are the Dhamma that I want to understand. Then it appears. In fact, a lot of Kayamita told me that a lot of the things they want to understand, in my sharing, somehow it come up. Then they told me, it's like Brother Teo, no, actually my nature just give in accordance with the condition, whether it synchronized with your pure wish or your pure mind or what, that nature will know. That's why that nature just from there, straight from the heart, it just come out. So the sharing will fall into place. And different people receive different things because you are at all at different stage of cultivation. So those who have the condition, they will understand the deeper aspect of cultivation and Dhamma. That's why this thing is very strange. And you will only understand as you go through. And this is what they mean by vast experience. Everyone is different. The training is different. That's why the Bodhisattva way is different. So all this, as you cultivate, you will witness them all. You will see them and you will understand them. And you will become different until later on when you are ready. You can be like my nature doing all this type of sharing. That's why all this understanding, they evolve over time, over a long period of cultivation, perfection. So every life, every moment, although you may see that like I share, I teach, but at the same time, I learn. Because everyone is different. And from the feedback, my nature learned very fast because it has that understanding already. So what it needs is different people's karmic condition, viewpoint, affinity, how they meet my nature, how they receive, and how they actually train, and how they move. That's why everyone is different. Unless I have all this understanding as a cultivator, I cannot teach. That's why it's not easy to teach. Everyone is different. Every condition is different. Every situation is different. Every civilization is different. So it's not easy to have that understanding to share and to teach. So this is the reason why all this can unfold and manifest. So very good, Colin. You bring about very good condition. You continue, yeah. Sadhguru.
And I would like to say thank you and also very grateful to all Kaya Mitas who have done their sharing because I have learned so much. And just an example, there's one of the sharing by Alicia. And in that sharing, I was listening to it over and over and over again. I think more than 9 times.
Very good.
And I start to understand on the dependent origination.
Yes.
Avijja, Pachaya, Sankara. Sankara, Pachaya, Vinanam. Vinanam, Pachaya,
Namarupang.
Namarupa.
Yeah,
and when I read that, I also took back the book that you gave me earlier.
Ah, yes.
Paticca Sambhogaya.
Paticca Sambhogaya, the 12-link book. Yeah, very good book. Yeah.
Yeah, and I started to read it. And I read it in conjunction with the mind map.
That one is very important. Good. Yeah, Sui did one.
Yes. And it made it so much easier.
Yeah, it's so much up all the teaching. Yeah.
So I was referring to both at the same time, the mind map. So I read both at the same time. Very, very easier to understand. So that was my what I realized over the past 2 months.
The daily religious routine.
Yes.
Training. That one is very beautiful. What you share today is very beautiful. Sadhu to your friend. Very good.
So sometimes when I do, and like for example, meditation. Yeah. Even if I don't, like for example, sometimes I feel restless. It's okay. I just do.
Yeah. Sadhu.
Yeah.
That is good understanding. Because when all these things like restlessness or whatever, mental hindrance come and you are not affected, you can just accept it, then just let it be, and you just do, you settle down very fast. It will not affect you at all.
Accept it and move.
Then follow the understanding, relax, maintain awareness, and just let things be. Then everything will return to its original state, settle down. And then you realize your spiritual faculty will slowly build up. Where you don't have doubt. When you don't have doubt, you don't have confusion, then there is no restlessness of mind to think, why like that, like last night's song went through. No more. Then you just settle down very fast. And you will realize that silent mind, the true mind. Then you can meditate. Then the awareness nature will start to develop more and more. Then you maintain daily mindfulness alone. That is the other thing. Everything you do, aware. Even walking, aware. Standing, aware. Reflect, contemplate, aware. Every moment of experience, sense or consciousness, aware from inside. Then when you do your whatever, like washing up or go to the toilet, prepare yourself to start the day, answering nature's call, maintain awareness. Then when you do your daily religious routine, you are already developing mindfulness, meditative training. But after that, when you come out of it, maintain awareness, maintain mindfulness. Whatever you do, even when you go out, let's say, to drive your car, every action, every movement, maintain awareness. If you do this, your daily mindfulness will stabilize. Then sati sampajana will arise and you become very different. Then you see a lot of things that you never see before. So daily mindfulness of every activity that arises in life and in your routine, you must do it. When you pay respect mindfully, body and mind as one, when you arise, aware, walk aware, whatever thought that arises, aware. Do not allow it to control you. Do not be lost in it. Maintain awareness. Then that awareness just witnessing. Then you start to understand how come this thought, no other thought. Then even your dream, your subconscious release, oh, you will start to understand because you have awareness. The moment you wake up, aware of what? Bodily posture, your movement, your action. That's why we choose aware every action, every movement in the present moment. Even the blinking of your eye, your stretching of your hand, your leg, your movement, all the physical activity, movement, aware. Yeah. So all this will help you to make your mindfulness stable. And it is going to become very different, very beautiful. Okay, that part is for you to develop.
And thank you, Brother Teo.
Understand more. Mm.
So last, I've been doing this every day. So yeah. Last month, we still have work at site. Uh-huh. When we open up on the 21st.
Yeah. Yes,
because
yes.
We got the application from MITI to start.
Oh, work. Good. You all have the permit. Huh? Uh-huh.
So the first thing we did was to apply our workers to go for vaccination.
Vaccination. Oh, very good.
So the very first thing before we send them for vaccination was to test them one more time.
Yeah, yeah.
Make sure they are all negative.
Yeah.
So luckily, all of them was all negative. All 255.
Yeah.
This is the 6 times we test so far.
Oh, very
good. All the time also negative.
Oh, very good. Means your site is very safe. Yeah.
We follow the SOP and also the workers, we also educate them.
Yeah, very important. Yeah.
So once we got the result that they're all negative, and we also help them apply. All the subcontractors, workers, we help them to apply to CIDB because they have a CVAC,
Correct.
Which is a PPV to join with the government.
Oh, sadhu. That will help a lot, yeah.
Yeah, to give vaccination to the foreign workers and also our local workers.
Yes. Oh,
yeah, we just need to pay ringgit per person.
Yeah, cheap.
Yeah.
And so, your company can expense it out.
Yeah, and also borne by the subcontractor themselves because they are
They are workers, yes.
Mm. So at that time, some of our own local staff who are in the 20s still waiting for vaccination, we also apply for them.
Oh, and good. Under the project, so that they can get it faster, the jab. This is very good. Yeah, very good.
So 1 week later, after that, we send them all for vaccination, arrange a bus, send them to CIDB. All of them got vaccinated.
Then your site is very safe.
So we did that on the first week of July, vaccination.
So now
so we also prepared some of the Panadol for the workers.
Just in
that case they may have side effect.
Correct.
And true enough, that night itself, workers start to have fever.
Yeah. Which is a good sign.
We asked them to take the Panadol. First day, after that, also same. I think about 10 workers. Then second day, 15 workers. Third day, almost 30 workers.
They will have to go through that phase, The antibody, the immune system will start to function. Very good. Normally, after the third day, it will subside,
But this one continued until the fifth day, more and more people. So we realized something was amiss. Not sure what was it. So on the seventh day after vaccination, we went back to site and we sent 2 persons to go and check. And after that, at the clinic, they do another test. Dr. Asem do a test. And they were positive.
Oh yeah. How many of them?
Two.
Oh, two of them.
Then after that, we asked the doctor, they are from our site so what do we do? Can you arrange people to come to our site to test all the worker?
Yeah.
Then the doctor say, this, because your site got so many people, you cannot do it. You have to refer us to the CAC center at KL.
Yes.
So we contacted them and they came in the evening, about late afternoon.
Okay.
So me and my team, right? And my construction manager, decided to, let's split to two teams.
Because we don't
know what's the result. Maybe all positive or negative. We better speak to two teams. Anything happened to the first team, close contact. Second team, can do continuity.
Yes.
I was the second team. Team went in, arranged all the worker, all tests. All the worker, 80% all positive.
Wow. No
7 days after vaccination.
Yeah, no wonder. Means they all actually has the thing already.
So it was very short window lah. It was a very short window.
So how you isolate them?
So the KKM who came, they say, okay, now 80% all positive, 20% negative. Isolate them in the separate room lah.
Okay.
Actually, the quantity is so big it's quite difficult to isolate already.
Not easy,
Then we ask KKM, so what is the next course of action? Should we send to the CAC or what? Can you advise us? Then he say, you'll wait. We will contact you.
Mm-hmm.
Unlikely to go to CAC because it's full.
Yeah.
Every day you see so many people, I say,
cater. They
better you all quarantine at your site.
So
we all wait lor. Wait 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, 4 day, still no reply, you know. Until the 6th day, I think they are really busy. Until the 6th day, they reply, they say, okay, you send all the workers to the CAC center.
Oh, very good.
So the first team, close contact, they have to quarantine themselves. They cannot test also, they have to wait almost 1 week later. So I'm the second team, I have to go to the arrange all the worker close contact. So my team and the management asked me how many people I need to assist me. I told them I don't want so many people, let's keep to the minimum because we have to reduce the contact. So I only asked for 2 person, including me, 3.
Good.
But we have to deal with the workers who are positive, so we have to be near them, front line. So we just get those PPE and go in and arrange, and the bus also all full PPE. So when this thing happened, of course, all the fellow colleagues are also very nervous.
Natural, very natural.
So I choose the 2 person. One is a safety officer, the other one is, they are young, below 50. They are in their 20s.
Yes.
And so we all went to arrange. When this thing happened, I asked for guidance, protection, and blessing. Because at that time my mind is using a lot for planning.
Correct.
Okay, so I also, some of the things I don't have answer, how to arrange, how to be safe, how to stop. Whether I can handle or not, because nobody, all the supervisors are down. But then I asked for
guidance and protection. Very good.
And I accept this. I accept this has happened. And then I look, the next thing is I need to handle is for the safety of the workers. And also the foreign worker who are affected. So we went to handle, and the next day, surprisingly, I got a lot of help. Because we had a meeting with the subcon, all asked if you need help or not. I said, no, because we want to have minimal contact. The day, a few of them came, some of the managers came from other subcontractors, came and helped us.
Very good.
And also, the foreign worker who were infected, we delegate to them, okay, you be the team leader for this group, you help me arrange, and they can do it very well. Surprisingly.
Very good.
Times of adversity, we also managed to pick up a few leaders. From the foreign workers. So I felt that this time it was very easy for me.
Oh, good, Sato. That's
I don't
why you
react.
can get them to work as a team without fear, without conflict. You
Yes.
will help.
Yeah.
Things will get resolved and settle down.
Yeah.
Oh, very good, very good.
I got asked some of my supervisors to help. Is I asked them, are you comfortable to do or not? Because
yeah.
I do not want to force you.
Yes, yes,
you
yes.
have your family and not.
But
I share with them is we are doing this not only we are doing for the workers, because they are also human.
They also
Nobody
have their
is
families.
Take care of them.
Yeah.
255 of them.
Oh, a lot of very big. Very
but
big.
But I told them we have to wear proper PPE.
Yeah.
We must know what we are doing. If we don't know what we are doing, we cannot handle this.
Correct. Very important. Yeah.
So luckily, we arranged all of them into the bus, went to the CAC center. Actually, they're all okay, you know?
Yeah. They are
considered stage one only.
Yeah.
Or stage two, no?
Minus
some
of them serious, is, yeah. Either asymptomatic or mild symptom, yeah.
So all of them went to CAC. The CAC center said, okay, so you all wear the band and then go back.
That's very good.
Yeah.
Just
so,
keep them within the sight.
Yeah, so everything happened quite smoothly lah.
Yeah, so now already 3 weeks, huh?
We already sent them to cut off the band already.
Yeah, we have more than 2 weeks already.
Yeah.
You can actually release them already.
But we also, in my own experience, in this thing that happened, I also see a lot of things in a lot of people like their character that react.
Yeah, because you are now more observant, more mindful.
Yeah,
you can sense their fear.
They may say certain things sometimes, but now I don't react. Like, I just like, okay.
That's very important. Your understanding help where you provide good leadership. You give them faith, you give them confidence, and they know they can trust you. Under you, they are foreign worker. The first thing is to fear that the government people come and catch them. But because you handle it very well, that fear gone, they're willing to cooperate and they are very happy. They will discuss among themselves later on. Their other group have to run and hide. The boss don't care. That's why it's very different. The way you organize it is very good because you have that understanding that them will help you. And you do it very well, Colin.
We do all for the subcon. No, none of the subcon need to come to handle.
Wow, Sadhu,
so
subcon also
very easy for them.
Yeah, no
they
wonder
only...
they're willing to send their project manager over to help you where they want to learn, so
they,
that other side they can handle. Yeah,
they don't want to come. Some of them like wow, so dangerous. They won't come. They just send. Okay, you tell us what money. They send money only.
Yeah,
they say
yeah,
you don't
yeah.
have to come. We arrange
That's
for you.
Very good. Yeah.
Less people, better.
Yeah. Safer also. Wow,
so,
Sandhu, Colin, you did an excellent job.
So sometimes even when our own internal management, they also have, I also can see the way they react. Of course, they are all nervous. They will say their things.
Correct.
But I don't react like last time. Like, oh, ego. Last time,
yes,
how come they talk like that?
Yeah. That's
just
right.
Leave it.
Personally, you can understand that you have changed and you can accept that reality. You can accept their fear, their whatever. Previously, before you have the Dhamma, you tend to comment and say, why is it like that? So these are all frivolous type of speech, not beneficial.
Yeah, it won't solve
the
problem.
Won't solve problem doesn't benefit the situation. That's why with the Dhamma, you become different. Your focus
more
is more calm and to resolve issue and give people confidence, support. They feel safe when they are with you and they are willing to actually support your whatever decision and plan. So this is very important. Leaders that have the Dhamma can actually bring forth the condition for the whole team to turn, to become different. When I handle my construction project, that time also say my staff all like me because I take care of their welfare and I know how to solve problem, resolve issue. We don't argue. I say no point, what for? We are from the same organization. And we have a work to do, a job to do, and we must do it properly. Certain thing we cannot take risk. It involves safety, construction safety, site safety. It involves people's life, even machinery, everything. We have to account for it and make sure we have things properly serviced and attend to. If we see any danger or what, we stop the thing. And sometimes we need to get it repaired, rectified, serviced, we do. Then when we hire machinery, we also make sure the company that leads to us send proper machinery. We don't want to have a situation where the machinery come, most of the time is down and have problem here and there. Then no point. It wastes a lot of resources and time. Very good.
Yeah. Just like the machinery people is the same. You take care of them, they will also
take care of you. They will also take care of you. You talk to them nicely, respect them, they're very happy, especially crane driver and all this machine and driver, backhoe and all those things. You must have good understanding and rapport with them. Very important.
At the end of the day, after all the things we have done, I also talk to my supervisor, those who have helped up. I just say like, thank you for your sacrifices.
Show our appreciation. Very important. That's what I always do, and I advise my staff to do. Because these are very important. To them, it's not so much of the remuneration or whatever, because it's the way you express it and you actually communicate with them. They feel like you are so understanding, you respect them, you don't simply scold them and tell them all and end up in argument. Then you are very courteous in the way you handle things and you get issue resolved. You don't get angry. Whatever happened, you just find out. Then after that, okay, don't worry. This one we will resolve it, we will move. So the focus is on resolving issue. We don't blame, we don't point finger. We don't go and scold people for what happened already. Then we say, okay, we learn from it. Next time, be careful. And if we need more people, more safety or what, we do it. So we must not try to like everything also want to save money, stingy, thinking that the company and the management will like you. No, this is wrong. What you need to spend, you spend. If it's important for the welfare of the worker and the conducive working of the whole construction site, we have to do it. Sometimes I also like try to understand there are certain staff, they don't have overtime pay on because their appointment letter, I realize, I don't know about now, but last time contractor, you can never say you don't want to do overtime, and they don't pay you one unless there is some form of understanding. But for me, it's different. If I find them having to rush and go through all this, I will talk to the MD or the boss to get a special allocation to take care of them. So I will tell them, you don't worry. All this OT thing, you may not be paid, but we will take care of everything. We will buy you proper dinner and all this thing. And once a while, you have to reward them if they finish certain milestone. Then we have a makan. Then we have the meet up. But that time, no COVID, no pandemic. So it was easier for me. That time, whatever we want to do, we just had the gathering. Now, maybe not so easy. Then when the project finish, when we make profit, we talk to the boss, special allocation, then we reward them. We reward them. So a certain type of like New Year incentive, we give them right back and all those things, and they're very happy. So all these are very important understanding where we can apply. So very good. Colin, sadhu to you.
I would like to say thank you to Brother Teo for your sharing and teaching all the fellow Kayamita sharing, because without this I wouldn't be able to handle this situation. It's actually not easy.
Yeah.
But it has helped me to keep calm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's helped to my own emotion and other people's emotion. I can see. And also keep vigilant and
vigilant.
To resolve it amicably.
Amicably. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Wow, you learn very fast.
Come so on. That it was my experience. I think
very good.
Meditation has really, really helped me.
Yeah.
Even at times I don't have 100% the answer, I also ask for guidance, protection, and blessing.
Yeah, that sincere mind, that request, will actually give the condition for things to manifest and unfold. Because you are being sincere, you have the Dhamma. Then when you make pure aspiration or wish, it will unfold. The request for guidance, protection.
The very morning when I have to go and handle the workers who are all positive, my wife actually cried, you know.
Because she loves you so much.
I'm not doing anything evil. I'm not doing anything bad. It's actually to help people.
And
don't worry, I told her I won't do stupid things.
If
it's dangerous, I won't go. What I'm trying to say is my mind is more grounded.
Correct.
I'm not doing evil thing. I also won't do stupid things.
You believe in your own nature. Your own ability to understand all this and handle all this. You are no longer like last time, very selfish, very scared. The fear. The fear is the one that will condition the wrong thought and all those things. So what is important is, like you say, you know what you are doing and you are very thankful and you do what you need to do. You are helping people. And you are actually doing your job with the understanding and all things. So you have all the PPE, everything. That one will help. Then your own precaution, of course. Then you yourself, if you have the jab, you have finished your two doses, I believe, by now.
No, I took my first jab. Second jab, not yet. Second jab in August.
Oh, means coming August, huh?
Early
August.
On the 16th of August.
Oh, my 19th. My and my wife 19. So we all around the same time. Then after that, I think you are safe. You can actually rest assured that vaccine will actually help prevent any serious because third stage or fourth stage or the severe stage, that one cut down to almost very low probability. But still need to take care.
I do take care. Like even after handling all the workers, now I quarantine myself at home in my own
another
room. Almost for 6 days. Tomorrow I will do the test.
Correct.
To see the result, like whether positive or I have or not.
Good.
Tomorrow I'll be doing the test.
So
I think this time right now,
sadhu.
Read the Dhamma, listen to
sadhu. Very good.
And
like my son also, sometimes he very understanding. He said, "Daddy, we don't meet up this weekend." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because I have contact with a lot of people, the wife also, because of work." He actually have that understanding and he really very concerned about our health because our age is, especially my age and my wife's age, is we are the vulnerable group.
I also share that with my parents. I tell them and handling a worker, we better not
meet better don't
until
come.
I do the test first.
During that time. So this is very important. Well, Sadhu, you did it excellent, very well.
That's all for my sharing.
Good.